some of you may know this guy. His name is Walker McCall. And he is still a member here. We haven't taken him off the membership list yet. But he is also associate pastor at River Church in St. Joseph. And he's been down there for a while, some preaching and teaching and doing some things. But he would like, he said he wanted to share something. So I'm taking a chance here. He said, can I have 5 minutes? I said, 2, so someone time it.
Good morning, guys. It's so good to be back here in this particular house of God. I mean, I can't even tell you. When I walked in the door, the memories that flooded my soul. I'm a talker, so I already took up 30 seconds of my 2 minutes. But anyways, what I want to talk to you guys about this morning is this: I'll cut right to the chase. You guys are very familiar with Jonathan and Marsha Garlock. Their ministry, large part of their ministry is missions. They're taking a group to Haiti this year. And me and another member of my church have been very fortunate to be able to go with them this year to Haiti. And so what I wanted to do this morning was this. I don't want to, people hate when you pry at their wallets. I understand that because I have little money myself, and so whenever someone asks me, it's like, whatever. But I will say this. In this short 2 to 5 minute span, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to help me out. Because in reflecting on coming back here this morning, I can just remember all the times in years past whenever you guys helped me out, whenever you guys supported me, whenever you guys were always there for me. This was my church home. This is where I first learned about God. This is where I was first introduced to our Father. And for that, I am forever grateful. For that, I will never forget Hammer Memorial United Methodist Church because you guys have done so much for me in the past. And going on this mission trip, doing the work of the kingdom of God is not always cheap, and that's the sad part about it. That things as we go through doing mission work and such, it is not sometimes it gets a hefty bill. And so we're looking to raise about $30,000 to take to the orphanages in Haiti and to bless them with that, to feed the children and to make electrical repairs, construction repairs, all those kinds of things. And so. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave a basket outside in that foyer and this foyer. So if you feel led as you lead the sanctuary this morning, just go ahead and you drop whatever you want in there. If you feel led to do so, I don't want to pry at people's wallets. I have graduations next week. I know they had a spaghetti dinner for a mission trip last week, and so it's all out there on the table. I'm not saying anything that you have to do, but I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to give to the kingdom of God. And so, yeah, that's my 2 to 5 minute spiel I wanted to give. I just want to thank you guys for everything in the past. I pray for you guys very, very frequently. You guys have a great pastor and Pastor Gene, and I know that the future is great for this church. I just want to give you guys another chance to support me and also to support Jonathan Marsha Garlock's ministries. Thank you.
So just drop a $1,000 bill or so in one of those buckets on your way out. We appreciate you too, Walker. We're so glad that you're ministering for the Lord and touching lives and touching souls. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word today. Scripture is found in Philippians. I think. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. It's amazing how 1 week out of a pulpit, you can feel like you've gone forever. But we were in a dynamic church in Midtown, Kansas City. It was amazing. They had four services on Sunday morning, and the big building was full every service. I was the oldest person there. And they had a black pastor, an all-white congregation. And I'll tell you, things are rocking down there, young families. The church is alive in America today. The church is still alive. God is doing great things everywhere. Praise God. So check it out sometime if you're down there. Check out, I'll forget the name of it. What? Redeemer Fellowship. Oh, awesome, awesome. Praise God. Are you ready today? Yeah. You timed it just right there. I always prepare my messages 6 weeks or more in advance. And guess what? We're going to be talking about giving today. Generosity. Isn't that neat how the Holy Spirit always orchestrates things? I mean, you have a chance to give in the offering. You have a chance to help someone go to Haiti and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. The title of the message today is Ordinary Things, Extraordinary Things. And through our generosity, God can do extraordinary things because we serve a generous God. He's given all so that we can have life eternal. He's given all as a very generous God that we become like our Father in heaven, and we want the same spirit in us of generosity. In the year 2002, that's not too long ago, a certain denomination that I was a pastor in had a mission thing for youth which is called Speed the Light. And they challenged all the youth of the churches in the nation to get a Pringles potato chip can. You know those Pringles potato chips? Look like you put tennis balls in there. Take the label off and put on that Speed the Light. Now, at the time, there was probably about 10 kids in the youth group at the church we were pastoring that had those cans. Other ones didn't have them. And they had no jobs, and they're supposed to fill them up with money. And all the money that would go to help missionaries buy cars, motorcycles, horses or mules to get to places to start new churches in third world countries. Now, I saw the heart of our kids as they would go out and they would do odd jobs and collect money. They would babysit and collect money. You know that youth group collected $6,000? Wow. But the nation of youth, using Pringle potato chip cans, raised $15 million to Speed the Light, to buy cars, jeeps, motorcycles, and bicycles for pastors and missionaries to go and start churches in remote places. They cannot count how many souls have come to Christ. They know it's in the millions. You see, God does extraordinary things when we give, when we are generous, especially when we give sacrificially. Look what Paul says to the church in Philippi, in Philippians. We read it earlier. He says, number one, in Philippians 4:17, he says, looking for what may be credited to your account. What was happening here is the investment of the Philippians is not what Paul received, but instead, it was something more than that. It was the spiritual dividends that they received in giving. Every time we give, we get blessed. That's why God says, I love a cheerful giver. That's why God tells us to give. That's the only way to live. He's a giving God. And he wants his people to be giving too. Paul said to them, I want you to receive an award for your kindness. Because Paul was able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole known world at that time, and the offering and the sacrifice that the Philippian church gave helped him to do that. He had no radio, no television, he had no social media at all, and he was able to reach the known world. No one has probably done as much for the church of Jesus Christ than the Apostle Paul. Now, Philippi was a city on the Aegean Sea. It was in eastern Greece, which is now present-day country of Macedonia. They were in the Olympics this past year. There's still a presence of the church there. There are still Christians there this many centuries later. But in the same area where the seven churches in Revelation are listed, and some of the churches that we read about in our Bible, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, Colossae, and Thessalonica, no longer exist. There's no Christian presence there. What's the difference? I believe the difference is because of generosity. There are still Christians in that area because of their generosity, because of their giving. God does an extraordinary thing when we give, especially sacrificially. You know, it's not a sacrifice to give 10% of your income. It's known as a tithe in the Old Testament. That's not a sacrifice. That's just something that we owe God. He owns 100%. And sometimes we don't think about our giving. That giving is actual worship. And we can worship Him in spirit and truth as we are giving Him an offering, or as we're giving to the works of the Lord and the kingdom of God. We forget that they are anointed by the Holy Spirit and that He will use them for all of eternity to change hearts and lives and for people to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have salvation. There was a young man by the name of Fred Barley. This was just recent. He's 19 years old. And he wanted to become a doctor, and he knew for his pre-med that he'd have to do biology. He had to have a biology major. He lived in Georgia, and he was quite poor, so he thought he would go off to the college that he wanted to go to, which is Gordon State College in Georgia. And the only way he had to get there was his younger brother's bicycle. So he rode his bicycle, 20-inch bicycle, for 6 hours in 100-degree weather in Georgia, to get to Gordon State College early so he could find a job. He got there, he brought enough stuff with him. He brought an extra set of clothes. He brought 2 gallons of water and some boxed cereal and a tent. He got there the first day and he's looking for a job and nothing happens. Second day, no job. So he sets up his tent on the campus grounds and there he is camping out. And guess what? They call the police. A policeman by the name of Richard Corrector says, "You got to get out of here, buddy." Well, Fred tells him why he's there. What does the officer do, him and his fellow officer? They put Fred up in a hotel for a couple days out of their own money. Then they go and they tell ABC News in New York about Fred Barley. A person hears about it by the name of Casey Blandy. And Casey sets up a GoFundMe, and guess how much money Fred Barley got? $184,000. An investment in someone who is going to be a doctor someday that's going to save lives. See, God does extraordinary things when we become generous and when we give. I think of those two policemen giving out of their own pocket for someone they didn't even know. The second thing that Paul says in verse 18, he says this, "The gifts you sent," talking to the Philippians, "they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Paul commends the Philippian Christians for their thoughtfulness and their generosity. Do you remember when the tornadoes went through Joplin, Missouri and just ripped that city to shreds? It wasn't that long ago. Many different denominations, including ours, the United Methodist Church, we went there and helped them rebuild. We sent tons of money, tons of talent, tons of people took of their time and sacrifice. And if you go to Joplin now, have you been there? It's more beautiful than it's ever been. It's a growing, thriving city with a great, stable economy, one of the better places to live in Missouri. See, God does extraordinary things when we give. And we're generous because we serve a generous God. And we're made in His image and His likeness. And if we know Him, we will want to give. Praise God. Paul was saying that their gifts of giving, the Philippians, was giving equal to the Old Testament burnt, or the Old Testament sacrifices that were burnt on the altar. The evidence of their sacrifice of themselves and their possessions was proof of their surrender to God. I want to say that one again because I wanted to get past our heads in our brain and have it soak into our hearts. The evidence of their sacrifice of themselves and their possession was proof of their surrender to God. Surrendering your will for God's will did extraordinary things. Paul was able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the known world. And there were no cars, trains, planes, or media. Amazing, isn't it? What could God do if he moved and stirred our hearts? Their offering smells good to God, a good aroma. Incense was burned, we know, in the Old Testament. So were burnt sacrifices, and they emitted an odor. But the true sweetness of which consisted in the spiritual condition of the people bringing the sacrifice is what God is looking and longing for. In other words, when we give in the offering, it should be a holy moment. It should be a time of holiness, a time of connection with God, a time where the Spirit touches us. Or do we just throw in the envelope the same amount every week? Never even ask God, God, do you want me to put in $10 more? God, do you want me not to put anything into this Sunday? Or do we just not do it? It's a very deep act of worship. Very deep act. The thought centers on the odor of the sacrifice. An odor of soothing. An odor of sweet smell. The Lord says, your sacrifices are a sweet odor and smell and aroma to me. When we at our worship service take the offering, is God, what an atmosphere. Oh, I love your sweet sacrifices. I can smell the aroma of your generosity and your giving spirit connecting with my generosity and my giving spirit. Or we just take an offering and God says, well, they did their duty. Just another part of the service. That's why I don't know if I like churches that have a box in the back. That's a church I got saved in. The pastor started that church and he had a box in the back. And you could go there like 4 months before you knew they took an offering. And someone told you there's a box in the back and you put your offering in. I think there's something about when we corporately pass the plates around or the bags in some churches and we put our sacrifices in there and we give out of generosity, we think about our giving and we give in worship in spirit and truth, there's an aroma, an odor that goes up to God and says, I love the smell of my people today. They put on a great perfume and worshiping me in their generosity and in their giving. The support of ministries and missions are called an offering to the Lord. And these sacrifices ought always continue in the place of Christian worship in the church. The third thing Paul says in verse 19, he says, and my God will, notice it says will, it doesn't say might. My God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Why? Notice it says needs, not wants. Do we really know what we need? Sometimes we do, but most of the times we don't. Some of us just need a quick, swift kick in the butt. Some of us need to be put in the hospital. What? So that we can learn compassion for others. Or learn that we are frail and our next breath and heartbeat comes from our Creator God. Amen? God will repay those who devote themselves to Him. He will repay them. I love what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says. Listen to this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what is prepared for those who love him. I was a youth pastor many years ago. I won't say how many decades now. I may have told you this story. It's a very, very poor part of town, of the city. We picked up kids there. It was more like a ghetto, more like the slums. And a lot of times they had lice. And it was amazing. I put those kids in my car. None of my little girls ever got lice. We would haul them back and forth to church. Other kids in the church got lice. I don't know why God protected my children, because I knew that these boys and girls needed Jesus. And we would pick them up and we'd take them. And I'd burn out a few transmissions loading 12 kids in my car when I was only supposed to have five, you know. Well, I went over to one of their houses, and the mother was saying, you know, I heard of someone preach on tithing and giving. I can't give. I'm really poor. And I said, well, I understand that. I really believe you. But I says, do you have some salt in the cabinet? She goes, yeah. And I know salt's still pretty cheap today. She says, I do. I said, you have something to give. You can go to the church, and you can worship God in generosity by filling up all the salt shakers in the kitchen. The thought never occurred to her that she was giving to the glory of God in worship. Because whenever we had a meal at the church, we would invite people that didn't know Christ, and they would come and they'd be able to feast with God's people. You see, sometimes we think we don't have anything to give, but we always have something to give. Think about Paul. When he said, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Did Paul want to be imprisoned in Rome for those many years? Not likely. But God blessed him while he was in prison. God supplied his needs while he was in prison. God's presence filled him. And there's nothing more glorious than being in the presence of God. And if you've ever been in a revival and you've had the presence of God pour through you, there's nothing better than that. Okay, little kids, cover your ears. I remember one time baptizing a girl. She was like 17, and we were in revival, and the presence of God was so strong in the church, and she was just in the glory, just praying at the altar for hours, crying, and just God releasing her things. And I remember dunking her in the tank, pulling her back up, and she just shouts, praise God, this is better than sex. The presence of God is the greatest thing that we can ever encounter. And we will encounter it more as we learn to become more like him and we give out of generosity. Oh, that's what Paul did. He gave whatever he did. He gave his life. Paul didn't want to be beaten and arrested several times throughout his ministry, but God used it for his glory and for his honor and built his church. And the gates of hell have still not prevailed against the church of Jesus Christ today. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Let's thank Paul. Amen. Let's be like Paul. He's our example of how to serve Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be shipwrecked. You know, probably the only time Paul got messed was when he was on the ship. I'm sure he told people about Jesus on the ship, but it was more of his time to rest. It was more of his time for him to take a cruise, really. And then he gets shipwrecked. Did he complain? Did he whine? Did he say, God, I've served you all these years and you do all this stuff to me, people, beat me, people, stone me, people, put me in prison, I get shipwrecked, all these horrible things happen to me. No, he praises God in the midst of it. And God, because Paul has a generous spirit, God uses him more and more and more and more. Praise God. The fourth thing I want us to see today, through our generosity, God can do extraordinary things. Through our giving, God changes lives. And in changing them, he changes us. In 2005, I was pastoring a church right in the St. Louis metro area. Some of you probably see the building. You're going on 70 East, and you take 64. Right there at that intersection is Lakecrest Church. I pastored that church. Sunday nights, We didn't have preaching or anything. We sometimes had worship and we'd sing, but most of the time we did, someone would get up and read a scripture, say a few words, and then we'd just pray. Just pray. It was funny to me that the majority of the people there were youth. As they would lay on the floor and they would get into the presence of God and they would pray. They would give what they had. They didn't have any money, but they gave it of their time. Amen? Praying and seeing life change. But this one young man started coming on Sunday night. His name was Steve LaRose. He was 19. We didn't take an offering on Sunday night, but he had to work on Sunday mornings. And he just started coming to the church, and he would come and he'd put his tithe in an offering plate. As people would spread out and pray anywhere in the building. There were huge tithe checks. Sometimes they were more than others. Did the church need it? No. The church was doing well financially. But Steve LaRose changed me by his giving. I remember his name. I don't remember half the people I pastored in the last church. I forgot their names. Right, Bonnie? I'll try to say, you remember that woman that she was about this tall and she had black hair? Bonnie goes, I don't remember her name either. But I remember Steve LaRose. He's now with the Lord. He did construction work and he got crushed under a beam one day. It's with Jesus. But he changed me by his giving. And I am changing for the better every time I give. We're not really living until we are giving. Let's live it. What are we going to do to live it? What ways will you improve your generosity? Think about it. Give yourself an answer. Don't leave this building today without giving yourself an answer. Come to communion today and say, Lord, thank you for your generosity in giving your life for me on a cross. Giving everything for me. Lord, I want to be more like you. And then after we partake of communion today, we're going to sing a new song. The scripture says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Somebody said, I don't like new songs. It's not about you. It's not about you. This is all about Him. Right? But we're going to learn a new song because the scripture tells us and commands us to learn a new song. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts for communion. I want to remind you that communion is for everybody here. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to have ever been to church before. We take the bread and we dip it into the cup. We're dippers, not sippers. We're all welcome at the table of the Lord.